Hello. Thank you so much for joining us right here today on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. We are happy to be with you in person, myself and Dr. Zamperone. You know, I recently looked at our stats, and we have over 128,000 downloads of our podcast, which is very exciting. So I know many of you are out there listening. We are open anytime for feedback. If you'd like to get in touch with us via naturalnurse.com or Facebook The Natural Nurse, send in what you'd like to hear about, or send in questions, or even send in complaints, whatever it is. You know, we'd love to hear from you. So I believe we have Dr. Zamperone on the line today as well.
Hi, good morning, and great to be with you and hear you.
Yeah, you know, this is the first time we've done this particular show at the same time, Dr. Z, in a very long time. Usually either you host or I host.
Yeah, so it's great to have you, and we can put our heads together and bring everyone good radio and have an exciting topic lined up for today's discussion. So we've been doing quite a number of webinars throughout the last few months on autoimmune disease and rheumatologic conditions, and we thought that we would share some information on that before, you know, before we get started, though. We probably have some announcements and things to tell people about if they're interested.
Yeah, there's all kinds of stuff going on, Dr. Z. We have a very exciting fall schedule, and people can join us in person or online. So I want to go through some of those things that people can find out. They are all posted with links of where you can sign up at naturalnurse.com. So one of the things we're doing is our fantastic herb class, where you like to call it our medicine making fun shop. And that's going to be in Connecticut. Why don't you tell us the details about that one? It is coming up September 13th.
Well, this is a great experience. It's going to be held at Gilberti's Herb Farm, which is in Westport, Connecticut. It's in one of the oldest herb farms in Fairfield County, Connecticut, lovely Fairfield County. And this is where we get a chance to really learn what makes medicine tick, that, you know, herbs are really not brought by a guy in a UPS suit, in a brown suit, in a brown truck. I always tease my students, you better not become UPS herbalists, thinking that, you know, herbs come in a bottle. That's not true. They are living, breathing, and hopefully conscious, we know conscious entities, and they are kind of willing to give up of their energy to heal us. And so with this information that's been passed down to us from shamans and medicine people throughout the ages, we like to pass this information down to our participants. And this is where we go around and identify medicinal and edible plants in the wild and not so wild places. And then we collect them. And we usually have a couple projects in mind that people can actually take home that day after their fun shop. We call it a fun shop because it's kind of on a Sunday, and you know, the weekend's usually a time for fun, and so not work. And even though this is work, it's certainly a lot of fun for us. So we kind of found someone used that name one of these days, and it kind of stuck. I forget, one of our listeners or one of our guests on the radio show called it a fun shop, so that name stuck. So this is great, we'll make like different salves and different tinctures, smudge sticks for spiritual purification during the high holy days, whatever those high holy days you celebrate, listener. You can use these smudge sticks like an incense stick, and just having a great time on a beautiful day on a beautiful place. So that's going to be on the 13th at Gilberti's Herb Farm.
Yeah,
that's Rosh Hashanah. So you got to beat it home before sundown. I know. I'm just looking at the calendar.
Oh, you're kidding! I didn't realize that.
So we got to make sure we're out of there and you get back down. So we could talk about that. But anyway,
noticing
that on the calendar.
It's so hard to schedule everything with all the things going on. And our next which is our about 26th annual last time that we go to Chinatown for this year, last Chinatown trip, last call, Chinatown 2015. We already had one, which was a fantastic day. This is where we actually meet in Chinatown, New York City. And it's just like you took a trip to a completely different country. And we review such ancient Chinese traditions as tongue and pulse diagnosis. We visit a Chinese museum, a historic Chinese museum. We also go, I love our part where we go into the basements in Chinatown, Dr. Z. Tell us about that. I know you being this big, tall guy, you kind of have to even scrunch down. Those spaces are so small.
You know, this is kind of where a lot of the medicines are made. And we found places where they certify things and they make sure that the Chinese medicines are clean because, you know, China's been in the news quite a bit over the last decade for not having the cleanest herbs and the cleanest medicines and things like that. So I think the American companies are trying to really, really make a heroic effort to only use herbs that they can certify are clean of heavy metals and are at least better than you know, I think what's mass marketed in China.
Well,
so
certainly
we go down and... Yep, I didn't hear you.
Where we go and we take people in the basement, that is actually an FDA-registered facility where the FDA
when you say
does
basement,
come
it
in
sounds
to
kind of creepy, but it just goes to show you that, you know, with limited space, they have these things. And you would never know that if you were like a tourist walking around Canal Street and, you know, but you would never know that these things are happening in Chinatown. So we've kind of made it our goal to, you know, make this more of a medicine finding workshop. We call it Eco Tours for Cures. It's like an eco tour because, you know, we're learning about different cultures. It's a cultural medicine exchange. And there's so many facets to it while we can experience this very interesting medicine, which, you know, is very ancient. So I'm really excited to go down there and share that information. And that's going to be held on the first Sunday in October. That's October 4th.
October 4th. And, so if anyone wants to join us.
It's an all-day thing, all-day event, walking tour of Chinatown with an emphasis in medicine, you know. So we're really excited to do that. And then of course, as we move into March of next year, we have our Eco Tours for Cures trip to Jamaica, our annual trip to Jamaica. And you can find out more information about any of these things on the Natural Nurse website because you keep
your
keeper of the
calendar. Yes, they're all
posted
there on the schedule, in addition to online classes. And we have an online certification class actually starting this Sunday, August 8th. So anywhere that you are listening in the country, you can join in. Even if you hear it after August 8th, it's an ongoing class. And that leads to CEU credits for acupuncturists, nutritionists, and massage therapists. Those are Florida accreditations. So other states you could apply and see if it could be usable. Sometimes programs do cross-recognize, but this is online, so anyone in the country can take it. And the first class is August 4th, coming right up. Oh, I'm sorry, August 8th. August 8th is the first one. So
you're down in Florida now, Dr. Kamoy?
I am in Florida at the moment.
I heard it was raining a lot in Tampa. They were all flooded out.
Oh, yes, over by where your relatives live. But we have been having a drought, interestingly enough.
Oh, you've had good weather. Wow, interesting.
I know. So that's the update. Visit naturalnurse.com, go to schedule, find out about all those classes. Now, as Dr. Z mentioned earlier, we also have been doing online education, and this is a very, very high-level class that we recently did, actually 8 hours of very in-depth information about autoimmunity. And that is on a website called Health Masters Live, and people can take that as an archive as well. But this is for really professionals, because Dr. Z rocked it into the very, very in-depth explanation on the many theories of autoimmunity. So on today's show, we will briefly review a lot of these really, really in-depth theories of autoimmunity. What are the names of some of the autoimmune diseases? And then we will spend time talking about herbal remedies that have been shown to be very useful, which can help people even if they're on their way to being imbalanced, because herbal remedies are very, very safe and sometimes documented to be equally as effective as some of the highly toxic pharmaceuticals. So we'll be talking about that as well. Dr. Z, why don't we start out with giving a list of autoimmune diseases? There's a really long list, but just off the top of your head, many of which people may recognize because, unfortunately, either they or someone they know may be dealing with this issue.
Certainly. well, you have autoimmune diseases that, well, what is autoimmune disease? Before we talk about what make a list, we should talk a little bit about what they are. And basically, it's somehow, and there's many mechanisms that will kind of touch upon, we can't get into that much detail because, like you said, I teach a whole 18-week course on this at the University of Bridgeport Naturopathic College. But in a nutshell, it's the body sees its own tissue as foreign and attacks it. I think that's the most succinct definition of autoimmune disease. Now, the why of that and how that happens and which organs and which parts are attacked is what really is fascinating. And quite a bit of medical literature has sprouted out over the last couple decades discussing this. And that's kind of what we honed in on, trying to tease through the literature to try to ascertain, well, why does this happen? Who does it happen to? Excuse me, i.e., does it happen more to men or women? And then, of course, what's actually happening at the biochemical, cellular, endocrine, mind-body, adrenal, genetic, microorganismal, and other areas that foster this miscommunication of the immune system. And then,
as a physician, Dr. Z, do you think that the prevalence of autoimmune disease overall has increased over time? Because I know we looked at history, and it was known historically.
Yeah, certainly we saw that, it goes way back, that's for sure. We even think that even the dinosaurs maybe had some aspects of it. And we're also seeing that osteoarthritis, which is kind of a more wear and tear type of arthritis, the line is blurring between what we used to think was just wear and tear and that which your body attacks the joints. That's kind of blurring a little bit. But I do think it's increasing because I think there's more chemicals in the environment, and there was a nice discussion by Dr. Crinion and in our book, our arthritis book, Dr. Bill Ray, about which chemicals tend to induce autoimmune disease. There's a laundry list of toxic chemicals, petrochemicals mainly, but other ones too, that definitely have induced autoimmune disease like lupus. That's like the poster child of autoimmune disease that is induced by chemicals, but also things like scleroderma, and we'll discuss what these things are in a bit, also has been linked to chemicals. Rheumatoid arthritis, there's some research that Dr. Bill Ray did that he published in his book Chemical Sensitivity, his four-volume series that looks at the link between chlorine and water and mercury in fish and fillings and in the burning of fossil fuels, which returns back to the earth in the water, and estrogens and xenoestrogens in our environment, which has to do with chemicals that mimic estrogen, whether they're from plastics or cosmetics that we put on our skin, what I call pretty poisons.
That's a good
isn't that
term.
A nice name?
Yeah.
We should write a book, The Pretty Poisons.
Mm-hmm.
That all these have been shown to, not all of them, but many of them have been shown to change the genetic information and then somehow cause the body's immune system to go awry and start attacking healthy tissue, thinking it's foreign. So it's quite complex, that's for sure, because not all the autoimmune diseases are really the same. Some of them are very severe and will attack the entire cellular structure. And some are more localized, where only parts of the body seem to be attacked. And even amongst certain definitive illnesses, some can be a more mild type of autoimmune disease, and some can be a more catastrophic systemic autoimmune disease, you know, which is could be life-threatening. So that's kind of our cast of characters for our discussion.
Excellent. Now, I want to tell our listeners that we are going to be talking about some of these theories, and Dr. Z just named some of the illnesses. So you may know someone who has rheumatoid arthritis or lupus or even things like fibromyalgia, Sjogren's syndrome. These
right.
may be names that you've heard of before. SLE, which is very widely known and recognized, as well as ankylosing spondylitis. So you may know someone or you may have this issue. Now, if you do, the first recommendation I would have for you beyond today's show, because we're only going to be doing a brief outline, is get a copy of our book. It is called Arthritis, the Alternative Medicine Definitive Guide, and you can easily find it. Just go to naturalnurse.com under books. It's the first book there. It's all over the place, easy to find, Amazon.com, et cetera. And it will actually give you a full and complete protocol, which we'll be going into briefly here. Also, Dr. Zamperone and myself both do in-office as well as phone consults. So you can get in touch, and we can actually review your blood work with you, work with you if you're out of the area with your own physician, find you a natural physician in your area to help order many of the special blood work that's definitely necessary if you want to get down into the real depth of the problem. Most physicians, once you've been diagnosed with an autoimmune disease, will just give you some kind of drug and that's it. And that's just not where we go. We go to finding out what's wrong with you, what's going on in your situation, looking at the many theories. Now, I'm just going to give you a list of how in-depth these theories are in terms of the various things that could make your body start to attack yourself. That's what autoimmune means.
Right.
So I'm just going to read the list. We're not going to get to all of these, but we will discuss some of them. And then later in the show, we'll discuss some herbs. Again, you might not want to just throw those herbs at yourself. You may want to work with a holistic practitioner so you can integrate them in the correct kind of protocol and the correct kind of sequence. But some of the theories, and there are many, include hormonal imbalance, excessive complement system, T and B cell issues, environment, microtrauma, reactive oxygen, those are things like free radicals, advanced glycosylated end products, danger signals, gut dysregulation, that's a big one, leaky gut syndrome, more well known in science as intestinal permeability. All kinds of stealth pathogens, those are microorganisms that hide out in your system, molecular mimicry, fossil viruses, citrullination, very, very in-depth topic, and the all-important and perhaps the one that should be right on the top, mind-body issues.
Yeah.
So that was what we did our 8-week course on, Dr. Z.
Yeah.
It's a very intense.
And then within
course.
That, we got into, you know, amazing depth, even within those kind of more nitty-gritty subjects, like, you know, why did the, like you just mentioned, you know, T-cell issues and B-cell issues, but within that category, there are, you know, scores of subcategories as to why the B and T-cells, which are the lymphocytes, big part of our immune system, why they may go awry. Sometimes what we see in autoimmune disease is that they have, the patients with autoimmune disease, their immune system ages too quickly. So somebody with RA would actually have a very old immune system, even though they may be chronologically young person. And so these rapidly aging T cells, they get in circulation, and there becomes what they call a bias towards these T cells making inflammatory chemicals that we call cytokines, you know, the interleukins and the interferons and things like that. And then the scientists have actually called these T cells cranky, belligerent old cells. It's like a cranky old man.
That's funny.
You know? And the T cells then, you know, they stimulate inflammation because they're angry all the time. They're very pitta, I guess, in Ayurvedic medicine. And then that can actually, some of these cells, their DNA is damaged. And then the more inflammation there is, the more there's a what they call permanent rewiring of the inflammatory cascades. That's why it's very difficult to help these autoimmune diseases. Not impossible, but it can be a challenge clinically. And I would say even most allopathic mainstream rheumatologists would agree that, you know, it's a challenge, and they're just basically working on symptomatic suppression of these inflammatory pathways using the newer drugs, what they call the biological response modifying drugs, you know, Humira and Enerbil and Remicade.
The ones you see on TV all the time. And boy, oh boy, pay attention to that long list. Okay, you'll take this and you'll be going around giving people flowers while your liver and kidney is shutting down, you're getting a heart attack and cancer, because these are dangerous, dangerous substances, although they do give relief.
Well, no doubt, yeah. So
Dr. Z,
then,
we're going to take a little break right here.
Okay.
And when we come back, we will continue our discussion about some of the theories, and then, of course, we're going to go into some of the natural alternatives. And don't forget, you can always get in touch with us by going to naturalnurse.com. Send us an email. I will forward it to Dr. Z. I get many for him as well. And you can also visit his website at drznaturally.com. We have all kinds of information there. And we're going to take a short break, and they're going to play one of our natural medicine chests. We're going to talk about time. And while you're listening to the time natural medicine chest, you can think about stealth pathogens as one of the autoimmune diseases that might be helped by using time. So we'll be right back with more right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z.
On this edition of The Natural Medicine Chest, we'll discuss the folklore, history, chemistry, and medicinal applications of the common kitchen herb, thyme.
The common culinary spice known botanically as Thymus vulgaris is only one member of a large genera which includes over 400 species and even more varieties. The Thymus genera is originally native to the Mediterranean region and is a perennial plant which grows wild in usually dry, sandy soil, green heaths, and grasslands. Thyme is a prolific, fragrant, creeping ground cover and often displays an attractive spray of flowering branchlets spanning the spectrum from white to violet.
There is considerable debate amongst historians as to the origin of the name thyme. Some believe it to be from the Greek thymen, meaning to fumigate or to burn a sacrifice, because it was used as a sweet-smelling incense and also to keep pests and venomous creatures away from the Greek home. Others believe it came from the Greek thumos, meaning courage or energy, perhaps because it has a reputation of being used by Greek warriors for courage and was bathed in and used as a beverage for invigoration. The Egyptians used an herb called tham, which we believe is Thymus vulgaris, to mummify their dead. The principal chemical constituents of thyme are the volatile oils consisting of phenol, thymol, and carvacrol. A 1977 article in the scientific journal Chemical Abstracts revealed that thymol's antimicrobial activity is 18 times more powerful than phenol. Phenol is a major antiseptic used in commercial germicidal cleaners like Lysol. Thymol is one of the most potent antimicrobial substances known and far surpasses even the strongest antibiotics. It has been illustrated in the Journal of Chemistry and in the Merck Index of Drugs and Chemicals to destroy parasites, worms, fungi, bacteria, mosquito larvae, and many viruses.
The pharmaceutical and cosmetic industry is privy to the important medicinal effects of oil of Thymus vulgaris. It is ubiquitously found in gargles, cough drops, vapor rubs, and many mouthwashes. Oil of thyme is to be used, albeit very sparingly because of its potency, as a gargle or mouthwash for sore throats and inflamed gums. Because the volatile oil is expelled via the lungs and kidneys, naturopathic physicians use it for upper respiratory infections and urinary tract infections. If you're in the midst of a cold and are lying in bed with too much thyme on your hands, try making a thyme tea made with just a few teaspoons of thyme to a cup of boiling water. It's an excellent diaphoretic because it causes the body to perspire profusely. Thyme also possesses an excellent carminative and antispasmodic effect, helping in poor digestion, flatulence, and intestinal gripe.
So, listeners, if you're feeling ill, thyme heals all wounds. Remember to reach for that thyme in a bottle the next time you open up the Natural Medicine Chest.
Very good. Very nice. I like that.
Yeah, Dr. Z. Right, and it fits right into, you know, one of those causes that we talked about in terms of causative factors, and those are stealth pathogens. That's an interesting one to review shortly.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. This is, I think, one of the major theories that has been, it's still, I wouldn't say it's totally accepted in medicine. I talk to the average doc, and they're like, "Oh, well, I don't really never heard about that." But really, if you couch it in historical terms, they would say, "Oh, yeah, I heard about that." So what I'm talking about is the work of like Dr. Bright, who found out that having a streptococcal infection in the throat, for instance, can lead to an autoimmune condition, which then can target the mitral valve and then cause attack the mitral valve, and then it causes prolapse of the mitral valve, and that's because of a thyme effect. So you got me saying thyme. That's because of a strep infection. Of course, you know, this theory is then continued in its research, and Dr. Ebinger from England is one of the main proponents of this theory. That I wouldn't even say it's a theory anymore. I think it's
Dr. Z, I want to bring this up. Molecular mimicry, you're going to tell us what it's about. Dr. Ebringer, when you told me about him, because you were very excited about him as a student in naturopathic school, which is becoming a few years ago, right? Like 20 or more?
No, more. Quarter century.
That's right. And at that time, it was a theory that really intrigued you. Now he is being published in mainstream medical literature. So it has moved from a theory to accepted science in mainstream, although still not honored enough.
Yeah, what caught my eye was an article I read in the London Independent newspaper, which one of my professors posted in clinic. And it was this guy with a terrible-looking spine. It was a drawing of a man who had bamboo spine. He was all hunched over like the Hunchback of Notre Dame. And it said, the title of the article was, How Pasta and Potatoes Can Damage Your Bones and Joints. And to me, that was an eye-catching title, because I was like, whoa, I grew up as an Italian kid in Long Island, and that's what we ate a lot of, pasta and potatoes. Well, I guess potatoes was the Irish side. But nonetheless,
right.
Yeah, but nonetheless, that's my ancestry. So I was very intrigued to read about what Dr. Ebinger was doing. And Alan Ebinger was a professor at the London, at the King's College in London. And he was an immunologist and a rheumatologist to boot. He was both of them. And what he found was that this bacteria that he found in the colons of people with this particular spinal arthritis, which they call ankylosing spondylitis, that they had this particular bacteria called Klebsiella. There's different species, pneumoniae, oxycantha, and a couple other ones. But nonetheless, when he put those patients on a diet free of the starches, the pasta, the potatoes, the bread, he noticed remission in their disease, and he thought that was really interesting. And then he looked to see if these patients indeed had this bacteria in their body, in their intestine, in their urinary tract, in their sinuses and things like that, different areas. And yes, he identified in a huge percent. I mean, it wasn't just a small correlation. It was well into the upper 90 percentile of people with this particular type of autoimmune disease, ankylosing spondylitis, and this bug. And then he was wondering, well, how does this bug actually cause the immune system to go awry? And what's the connection between the pasta and the potatoes? What's that connection, Dr. Kamai?
That's so true. And, you know, what it looks at is the fact that people have a sensitivity sometimes to various foods. And also, you know, there's other things that happen, like build up of candida, and the fact that the body tends to recognize the fact that the cells themselves become something that they want to attack, rather than just limiting themselves to invaders such as microorganisms.
Yeah, so they actually found out that the collagen of the patients with the ankylosing spondylitis, down to the molecular level, you know, collagen's a protein, Dr. Kamai, consists of lysine and glycine and proline and other amino acids that make up the matrix, and collagen is what makes up cartilage, part of it at least, and they found that the exact microorganism, when you looked at its secretions, its cell wall and cell membrane, I guess, not cell wall, and other parts of that microorganism were almost identical to the molecule of the protein of that patient who had the autoimmune disease. And
hence the name molecular mimicry.
Right, perfect. Or molecular camouflaging, it's also been referred to in the literature. And the idea is that, you know, the microorganism, you know, has adapted, and it's like the right place and the right time. It's like the perfect storm for the patient. The microbe is living great because it can evade detection because it learns to look just like the patient. And the immune system has a hard time seeing it. But once it does see it, it makes a vigorous reaction, immune reaction against it. But unfortunately, in attacking the microbe, because it looks so similar to the person, you have collateral damage. I hate to use that word because George Bush used to use that all the time. But you have damage to the tissue. And basically, Dr. Ebinger said that the damage, the chronic arthritis seen in the spine and hips and sacrum of the ankylosing spondylitis patient is due to repeated flares of the immune system trying to hunt and destroy this bacteria, but inadvertently you destroy the person's collagen itself. And when you destroy the collagen, the body tries to heal, and then you destroy the collagen more, the body tries to heal, but eventually it creates so much scar tissue that the bones and spine fuse, and you get ankylosing spondylitis. Now, what does the pasta and potatoes have to do with it? Well, that's what I was interested in. Well, that's what feeds this bacteria. You mentioned yeast, too. That was also part of what he discussed as well, and what naturopaths and holistic doctors like Dr. Crook and some of these pioneers who developed these theories of candidiasis causing problems, which have been still poo-pooed by medicine, who still prescribe antibiotics without prescribing antifungals at the same time. That should be standard of care, is to prescribe, when you prescribe an antibiotic, you always prescribe an antifungal. It still is not standard of care, Dr. Kamai, and most of these patients come to see me and you and other practitioners with massive yeast infections or massive dysbiotic conditions, which all, again, lead to the autoimmune disease through that wonderful mechanism that Dr. Ebinger discovered.
Well, thank you for that, Dr. Z. What we're going to do is take a little break right now so PRN can tell you about some of the great other shows. Of course, we love our show, The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. And you can listen every Tuesday, 10 to 11 a.m. right here on Progressive Radio Network. But also, you can catch our shows anytime on the archive at prn.fm. So you can listen to past shows. You can also search topics. Let's say you want to know about Candida. Well, we have whole shows with people who have written entire books on Candida. Let's say you want to know more about rheumatoid arthritis or any other topic in natural health. You can actually go on the archive, and there's a place to put in the search box a topic, and you will find a radio show hosted either by both myself, Dr. Ellen Kamai, the natural nurse, or Dr. Eugene Zampro, naturopathic physician, or those odd shows like today where we're actually on board together. So that's something that we'd like to invite you to do, is visit the archives at PRN. So we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we're going to be talking about, okay, so what can you do about it? We will also take your calls if you call in today, since we're both here. And the call-in number is 888-874-4888. That's 888-874-4888. And we'll be right back with more right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z.
Hi there, this is Harvey Wasserman. I am the host of the Solartopia Green Power Wellness Show, which airs every Monday at 3 p.m. at prn.fm. We cover the great issues of your health and wellness, of the health and wellness of the planet, of moving ahead towards a Solartopian, green-powered, holistic Earth. Progressive Radio Network is moving forward, and we hope you're coming with us.
PRN, 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 Progressive Radio Network. Stay tuned.
We're back with more of The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z, and glad you joined us. And so we're discussing autoimmune disease. Now we want to move. We talked about some of the theories, Dr. Kamai.
There's a lot more.
We're running out of time. But we want to talk more about what people can do about it proactively.
This is so
true. If they have an autoimmune disease, or if they know, like, you know, you're a younger person, and you know your mom or dad or aunts or whatnot or grandparents have some type of arthritis, and you don't want to get it.
Good idea.
So what could we do?
So that is where it comes into a long list of natural therapies. And by the way, I do want to refer to our book again, Arthritis, the Alternative Medicine Definitive Guide, because in there we have 40 case histories of people with various autoimmune diseases, including rheumatoid arthritis. We have juvenile arthritis. We have ankylosing spondylitis. I think we have a case of lupus in there as well.
Just to interrupt you, I didn't want to get you off track, but that woman who we talked about in our webinar,
yes,
she, with lupus of the kidney, she went back to her kidney specialist and said she's in full remission on our protocol. Isn't that exciting?
And that's what happens time and time again. And I do want to tell you, we're going to talk about one specific intervention right now, which is an herb that we actually helped formulate to specifically down-regulate the autoimmune response. But I don't want any of you to think you have a terrible illness, which autoimmune disease is pretty serious, and you just pop a pill and it goes away. Mm. It's part of an entire holistic program which looks at food, exercise, body-mind issues, your specific food allergies, which are tested. There's a lot of things that go on to this, and we find that it's not instant. How long was that turnaround for that lupus patient, Dr. Z, from the first time she came to see you?
She did the protocol maybe 14 months, 13,
okay, so
months.
We're talking about a year or two.
Yeah,
we're not
doing
talking about
things.
Come in, pop this pill, but we are going to talk about specific herbs that are in a formula that we actually designed, and it's called T-cell balance. But again, this is not like you just take it and then everything goes away, but we're going to talk about some of the science behind what's in this formulation and specific herbs that include Romania, cordyceps, and rosemary, specifically rosmarinic acid. So, Dr. Z, let's talk a little bit about any one of those that you'd like to. I know we have so much information about that. We could start with Romania or cordyceps. Those are interesting ones.
Yeah, Romania is very interesting. I like Romania because it sort of does the same thing that licorice does in Chinese medicine, has anti-inflammatory, steroidal, glycosides. So I'm speaking maybe above people's heads there. So, you know, these herbs actually have natural steroidal properties, and they can bring balance in aggressive autoimmune states. The Chinese, where, of course, Romania is revered as a TCM, beautiful plant. If you Google image Romania, Romania, by the way, is spelled R-E-H-M-A-N-N-I-A. As one, the Chinese refer to it as one of the most effective blood and adrenal, which they call the kidney yin tonics. They call it Ti Huang. So when we think of the kidney yin in Chinese medicine, those who are trained in that, it has a lot to do with bringing balance to hormones, particularly the anti-inflammatory and reproductive hormones, which we call the gluco- and mineralocorticoids. And so Romania has been shown to help you inhibit the breakdown of these glucocorticoids and spare them so that you can use them for inflammation. And this gets into the whole, like you said, the stress thing, Dr. Kamai, people living in the fight-or-flight response and having a lot of the many things on the home stress scale, which was developed at the University of Washington, a lot of life events that create lots of turmoil in people, and many people have heard of high cortisol and people being on edge all the time and it wreaking havoc with their whole body. Well, that's part of this whole problem, is that we're seeing one theory of maybe why we're seeing more autoimmune disease is that we're under a lot more chronic stress than our ancestors. You know, our ancestors would be under a lot of stress, I'm sure. You know, famine and saber-toothed tigers chasing them, or wars amongst tribes and whatnot. But there was probably a time that they could unplug and be with nature. I'm sure there was. This day
well,
and age.
Well, first of all, they went to bed when the sun went down.
Yeah, so that's
less of a
stress.
They weren't up till 4 in the morning. You know, still on the computer. Right.
Right. Exactly. So. So there was a time to unplug, and they had to, because that's what They follow the cycles of nature. So Romania, that's one mechanism of how Romania can help. It actually can help reboot the adrenals, and those are important. You know, that's one of the mainstream treatments of autoimmune disease is to use very powerful steroids in the treatment. And sometimes that can be helpful in putting it into a remission. I did have a man with a bad autoimmune kidney disease once, and the steroids did put it into permanent remission. But he came to see me to clean him up after the allopath gave him that. And, you know, he had Cushing's disease because of that. Moon faces, giant hump of fat on his back. His kidneys were better, but his bones were weak. So what I'm saying is basically, you know, there is a time and a place for the drugs, but one of the herbs I gave him to rescue his adrenals was Romania. And
I want to point out that all of these herbs that we'll be talking about, however far we get into it today, have a huge amount of actual scientific data and study. So if a doctor of yours says they haven't been studied, they are just not knowledgeable about it. And for instance, Romania and the other herbs we'll be talking about have a very, very special action, because although they are mildly immunosuppressive, and you need to suppress the immune system to some extent, if you notice those Humira ads on TV, it suppresses the immune system. Remember, we're turning off that autoimmune response so that we don't keep attacking our own cells. But those drugs actually completely turn your immune system off, because you'll hear on the commercial it says, you know, if you get a cold or flu, I mean, you could actually die from it. You have to really, really be careful, and of course you can't. Now, the difference is in Romania, it has a very specific action. It's just interesting. God seems to know what he's doing, or she's doing better than humans, because it's a very immunosuppressive effect that only goes after the aberrant cells and somehow has an intelligence to not inhibit the healthy action of the immune system. That's what's so amazing
cells,
about it.
There's certain cells that are a problem. And like you said, the scientific information, there's been some really interesting studies on Romania and people that have silicosis, and that's kind of like the poster child of autoimmune disease that was well known back in the coal mining days, when coal miners and people working in these industry would breathe in so much dust and silica that it would create an autoimmune disease that would affect not only their lungs but go systemic. And in particularly in some of the Chinese studies, Romania has been very helpful with that. It also blocks complement, which is a whole cascade of events that creates significant damage to the tissue. It actually causes the tissue to actually rupture and explode, complement. And that's an important part of our immune system, because you want viruses and bacteria to explode, but you don't want your healthy tissue to explode. So Romania modulates the complement. So it's amazing. And so the next herb that we should touch base on before we run out of time is the cordyceps mushroom.
Absolutely. What an interesting thing. And if any of you would like to see a picture of it, just go online and Google CORDYCEPS, cordyceps. Very interesting.
There's even some great YouTube videos of the cordyceps mushroom growing in insects and almost consuming the insects, like in the movie Alien. It's kind of morbid, but really cool. But cordyceps as a mushroom, they don't grow it like that anymore. Now they just grow it in a culture. They don't like give it to insects and watch their head pop off. But anyway, you know me, I'm kind of morbid like that. But, you know, cordyceps was treasured as gold and used to be reserved for the rich and the powerful, and has been used as a, you know, kind of like the imperial mushroom type of thing for thousands of years. And the Olympics was the first time that we saw in modern times cordyceps in action, as the Chinese Olympians had been taking it. It was not banned, and they broke all these world records in swimming and other summer Olympic athletic competition things, and we were like, wow, what the heck is going on there? And sure enough, it turns out that the cordycepin, which is the active ingredient in cordyceps, does have ATP-like activity, so it seems to really energize the cell and can help people with the fatigue and lethargy of autoimmune disease. But what they saw in actually arthritis is that it blocks or modulates the expression of these very powerful enzymes that eat up your connective tissue, Dr. Kamai. They call those the matrix metalloproteinases. And it also pushes the signals, the inflammatory signals, away from inflammation and more towards anti-inflammation. And so it slows these aggressive reactions deep in the connective tissue.
Again, these are well documented. Your doctor should know about this. If they are not, then, of course, you know, they don't have much time. Most conventional physicians spend about 8 minutes per patient. The only thing they seem to know about are the pharmaceuticals, because, of course, the pharmaceutical reps are highly funded and come in and give them literature, give them free samples, take them out to dinner, take them on trips.
As a student, that's what they're exposed to, you know.
It's what they're exposed to. So if they even bothered Googling, or if you Google something like T-cell balance and look at that formulation, which includes cordyceps and Romania and rosmarinic acid, and then you tell the doctor, you Google the studies, print them out, they're all available online, and discuss it with your doctor, and they should at least say, gee, we don't know a lot about that, but perhaps we'll work along with your natural health care provider, who mm-hmm. does know what drugs and herbs should or should not be used together, which is important. And we'd be happy to see how you do on these things. How is that doctor whose client you just reported on, who now has a reversal in lupus, how is their doctor about that?
Well, he was very excited. I didn't get a letter from him, but I got a letter from the patient saying, you know, I just want to thank you. It's interesting. The patient is a doctor herself. I didn't know if it... if you knew that, but
I didn't.
She's a medical doctor herself, and so it's great to see, you know, but she's trained in Europe, so, you know, she was exposed to phytotherapy and whatnot, and this is one reason why she sought me out. But yeah, now she was having autoaggressive destruction of the kidneys due to lupus, and they wanted to put her on a drug called Cellcept, which is a very powerful, you know, it basically suppresses the B cells and destroys them. She said, no, I want to try a more natural approach. She sought me out. And through my work and studies and looking at, well, what can we do to protect the kidneys in that are unfortunately impacted during lupus, you know, we were able to manage to get her on the T-cell balance, and particularly the rosmarinic acid, which is the major part of the T-cell balance, which we should mention, and, you know, other things. And she's, you know, in remission. So, you know, we'll see. I told her, let's be cautious, you know, because she, of course, wanted to stop everything. But I said, you know, maybe we should just stay on things for a while and then see how you do. And
you right, know. You don't just go off your drugs.
Right,
slowly,
exactly. So I said, you know, like I need to see you, and we need to talk about what things have improved and whatnot. Certainly we can make the list smaller, but nonetheless, that's what's exciting news. So the other really dynamite discovery in autoimmune disease was the discovery that an active ingredient of rosemary called rosmarinic acid actually kills the bad T cells, and probably the B cells too, but certainly in the literature supports the T cells, kills the bad T cells. Those are the ones that cause the damage. And remember this molecular mimicry. So they go in there and they destroy the tissue, and then they raise families. Once they become kind of a terrorist, so to speak, they indoctrinate other younger cells to do the same thing, not unlike terrorism in our world today. It's kind of an interesting thought process, Dr. Kamler. But nonetheless, the rosmarinic acid goes into your body, and it kills the abnormal T cells and leaves the healthy T cells alone. Now,
isn't that amazing?
Methotrexate, which is used in autoimmune disease treatment by a standard of care rheumatologist, that kills all of the T cells. It doesn't just kill the abnormal T cells. Same thing with Plaquenil, which is a drug that was originally used for malaria, which is also used standard of care in patients with lupus and other devastating autoimmune diseases. But the rosmarinic acid tends to be very safe, and it's one of the most powerful antioxidants around. So,
well, Dr. Z, believe it or not, we have run out of time.
Okay.
So it was a great show, really gave a fantastic background on the fact that there is hope. If you think you're headed towards autoimmune disease, now is the time to take action. Don't wait until the diagnosis comes along and you're on this whole plethora of hugely dangerous pharmaceuticals as treatments. But if you're on the drugs already, we're not telling you to stop. And as we said, the natural alternative approach could take 2 years to really shift over, but during that entire time, you're moving towards wellness, and really, that is the only way out of the condition or, you know, help with modifying it. So we want to thank you so much for joining us today. Get in touch. You can find us at naturalnurse.com or Dr. Z, that's D-R-Z, naturally.com. And until next time, this is Ellen Kamai, the Natural Nurse.
And Dr. Z.
Hoping
that
you...
Stay healthy.
Stay healthy.
Bye.